Romans chapter 8, let's begin. We're going to read two verses, in verse 26 and verse 27. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You can be seated this morning. Lord, we come to you today and we thank you for the singing. We pray that it has uplifted your name this morning. You know the needs of folk that are sitting here today. You know my needs. And I pray that you'd come by and do a work in our heart, Lord, that we cannot do today. Lord, I ask that if there's one lost, that you'd save them. I pray that you'd help them come to the saving knowledge and the truth of your love for them at Calvary. Lord, I pray this morning if there's somebody here that is in need, I pray that need would be met this morning, and that by the work that only you can do. I pray you'd anoint us afresh and touch us from heaven, and help us while we might preach just a little while. And we'll give you the glory for it all. For you're the only one worthy. And I thank you for being who you are. Thank you for saving us and keeping us. Help us now. Save that sinner's nearest tail. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As I look at these two verses today, let me say this, that my introduction may run into point one, and that's all right. But these two scriptures is a time when the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Rome. He's telling them that it is the Holy Spirit that intercedes and prays for us when we don't know how to pray. He talks about right here that likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And then he begins to tell us how he helps our infirmities. What is an infirmity? An infirmity, according to the dictionary, is an unsound or an unhealthy state of the body. In other words, a sickness. It could be a weakness of the mind or a failing or any particular disease or something that is weak or imperfect. Or a feebleness. And we understand that an infirmity is something that, first of all, might be a health issue that we might have. Luke chapter 5, it says, after he had healed the lepers over there, the Lord Jesus, the Bible went on to say, but so much the more went out their fame abroad of him. Remember, he told them, he said, don't tell what I done to you. Go down there and show yourself, and that to the priest. But he said, don't tell anybody what happened. But the Bible said, but so much the more went out there a frame abroad of him, and great multitudes came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23, he said, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. And so we find that one place in the Bible that the word infirmity is talking about a physical ailment that we have. It also means that we might be in the midst of a spiritual battle and don't know how to handle that thing or cannot take care of it on our own. When the Apostle Paul was talking about being buffeted and that by the messenger of Satan in 2 Corinthians 12, and he sought the Lord three times and that to make the messenger of Satan to go away. Here's what the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Ain't you glad of that today? That he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hey, it'll get you through anything and everything in this world, the grace of God. But you know what Paul went on to say? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my what? In my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hebrews chapter 4, he said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When he's talking about that infirmity, he's talking about the temptations and the trials that are in our lives. And so when I read this scripture right here, maybe it is an infirmity of sickness, or maybe it is an infirmity of a trial or a time in our life that we just don't know what to do with. And take your Bible and go to Psalms chapter 77. Psalms chapter 77. And I learned some things from reading about David right here. Psalms chapter 77. And verse 1, Psalm 77 and verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not, and my soul refused to be comforted. What's a bad place to be, ain't it? Well, when your heart and your soul refuses to be comforted for what's going on. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. You know what? He began to think about some old times. He began to search in himself. He began to look at some times that has passed and look at God and what he's done. And he said in verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Nothing's promised fail forevermore. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. David, right here, the writer, the psalmist said, as he talked about God when his soul ran through the night, and he had no more song to sing, it seemed. And he said, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? His mercy cling gone? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath his anger shut up his tender mercies? Well, that's not true. None of that's true. God remembers to be merciful. God knows where you are and hasn't forgot you. But he felt like, psalmist felt like God had forgot all this stuff. And he said, and this is my infirmity. I believe the infirmity that he was talking about right there was maybe his doubt or his lack of faith of what God was able to accomplish in his life. Sometimes that's our infirmity, ain't it? Is our doubt. Surely, I'm not the only one in here that has ever doubted what God is capable and able of doing. Surely, I'm not the only one in here that my faith has ever failed along this life. We act pious preachers. We act pious sometimes if we're not careful. And we want to act like that nothing ever gets us down, and that, man, that we're always 100% knowing what God's up to, not only for me, but also for you too. Amen. We act that way sometimes. And I look at my own life and I see myself like the psalmist here in Psalms 77, and I have to think back about what God has done. Sometimes the infirmity is something that we cannot handle ourselves, or it's got away from us and we just don't feel like we can handle it. Well, let me ask you this. How many times have you ever prayed and God has answered your prayers? Now, that's not what he's talking about in Romans chapter 8. I'm asking you a question right now. How many times have you prayed and God's heard and answered you? I can say he's done it plenty of times. I can say that I have prayed and God has answered my prayers. I think about this sometimes, how that I've prayed some foolish things and I've said some foolish things to God before. I've told you all this before. There was a preacher that I knew that he got stomach cancer. I remember coming in here in the middle of the week, and I remember getting on the altar about right here, and I prayed, and I began to tell God, most of y'all know the story, but I began to tell God he was unfair for what he was doing and what he was allowing. And I remember that had no more slipped out of my heart and out of my mind that the Lord, I mean, he just smote my heart and said, I know what I'm up to right here. God knows what he's up to. We may not understand why he's allowing what happens to happen, but he knows why he's allowing what happened to happen. And I remember he broke my heart right there. He broke my heart and showed me that he was still in control and he knew what was going on. We have a tendency sometimes to tire the preacher say the other day about God not being fire. And he said, God ain't fire. I thought, boy, there's a lot of truth to that statement. God ain't fair. You think God's fair? Let me ask you this, and I'm going to move on off this. Do you think it was fair that he had to send his son to die for the likes of me and you so that we could be saved and go to heaven? Do you think that was fair? Do you think that because he left heaven and left the fellowship of the Father, do you think that was fair? Do you think it was fair to bear our sins at Calvary? And then we think God ought to be fair to us all the time. God ain't fair, friend. And you need to get a hold of that sometimes. But let me move on. Some of you's looking at me like I'm crazy, but I'm just going to tell you, sometimes God ain't fair in our mind. But David said in Psalms 18, he said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. He said, I prayed, and God heard, and God answered. I think most of us have been there. And it's an exciting time when we pray. And in earnest pray. And we want to see God do something. And we pray and he does. Man, that'll build your faith, won't it? Builds mine. Amen. You do pray, don't you? Amen. You do see needs that need to be moved upon. I hope so. There's been times I've prayed and God has moved just like I asked him to move. There's been times I prayed and God still answered my prayer, but he didn't hardly move like I wanted him to move, but he done it in his way. But I'm not talking about that time. I'm talking about what Romans chapter 8 says right here in verse 26, when there is an infirmity in us, whether it is a lack of faith, whether there has been a trial or a temptation that has come upon us, or maybe a physical malady that's come upon us. And the Bible said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. How does he help us? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Number one, when we look at the infirmity that's upon us, the weakness or the feebleness. Sometimes, listen, when we don't know how to pray or what to pray. Have you ever been there? I heard Miss Jennifer talk and say when her sister was in the hospital and they spent all that time down there, that they would spend all day down there and then come home and was so tired. Hey, I really don't think there's anything more tired than sitting at the hospital. That's a tiresome place to be. And it becomes so mentally straining. And it becomes so spiritually straining. In a hard time and in a hard place. And then you put all this physical stuff up upon us that we're not used to doing. And all we really want to do when we come home is go to bed. I believe it was Earl Hughes that said one time, he said, sometimes I just tell the Lord, I'll talk to you in the morning, Lord. And just gets up and goes to bed and he talks to him in the morning. You get tired, it's awful hard to talk to the Lord sometimes. But the infirmity, when we don't know how to pray, when we don't know what to pray. I very seldom talk about this, especially with my wife with me. But when we lost the baby, that was a very numb time in our life. And not too long ago, I had to go to a graveside and preach the graveside of a little baby that had passed away. And I told him, I said, there's one thing that the preacher really understands is what you're dealing with right here. Now, I may not understand everything that you've went through. Just because I've been through everything, that does not mean that I understand everything that you're going through. But I know what it's like to sit under this undertaker's tent and have to sit and listen to the preacher. Me and my wife, we talk about this very rarely, but sometimes we do. But I couldn't even tell you what the preacher preached at the graveside that day. My wife might remember every word. I don't know, but I can't remember. I can't remember a whole lot about what went on during that time. Why, it was a very numb time and a very quick time, and things were moving. And hey, I didn't know how to pray nor what to pray. I didn't know what to do. You know what the Bible said right here? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we walk. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us. When I didn't know what to pray or how to pray, He knew what to pray. When I didn't feel like praying, you ever been there? Let's not get pious again this morning. Remember from the introduction now, listen, we don't want to admit some things because that may make us unspiritual in the eyes of somebody else. We just don't know how to pray, and sometimes we just don't want to pray. We just don't feel like it. I'm not telling you that that's a good place to be. I'm just telling you sometimes that's how it is. And sometimes all I know to pray is, Lord, you're going to have to help me right here because I don't know anything else to do. And you know what the Lord does? He generally comes by and does just that. But the infirmity, the problem, or the situation that is wearing us out either physically or spiritually or mentally or maybe all three, can I tell you that the Lord understands that? Now, He don't want us to be lazy. I'm getting ahead of myself on this. You know, the Spirit's not going to intercede for us because we're lazy. Some people's lazy in their prayer life. Ah, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit ain't going to do that, friend. But notice right here, when we're in a place, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. That groaning is that low and mournful. And I mean, it's just in a time of when we're low, if I can say that. I thought about this. If we're not careful, we'll begin to start making promises to God that we ought not to be making. You ever said things to the Lord that, one, you wish you hadn't have said them, but two, you probably shouldn't have said them. You get in a place where you don't know what to pray or what to say or what to think, and you just begin to say things to God that really, friend, we just had no business saying in the first place. Listen, can I put a parenthetical part right in here? Life ain't always like what I'm preaching. Okay? Let me stop right here for just a second and say this. And I talked about this Wednesday night. We should not be the people, and I have to preach to myself about this, that we're always down and that we're always in the dumps and that there's always something going on. I don't think God wants us to live that way. I really don't. I mean, the Bible said that the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I think He wants us to have abundant life in Him. I really believe that in the Scripture. I think He wants us to be happy. I think He wants us to live in a good place. But I'm telling you, friends, sometimes it ain't like that. And sometimes we don't know how to pray. Now, it's not that we're pulling our hair out. Boy, we think the world's coming to an end. And, oh, God, what are we going to do right here? I remember listening to one preacher one time. He said it was early in the morning. He said we was traveling. And he said I was driving one car. And he said my daughter-in-law was driving the car behind me. And he said, I watched. He said, I watched as her car in the rearview mirror. He said, I watched as her car veered off the road. I went down an embankment. And he said, all I had was time to holler out, oh God. And he said, about the time I hollered that out, there that car comes shooting back up off the embankment. I guess it's playing the Duke's Hazard. I don't know. And shot right back up and landed right back on the road. And everybody was fine. You know, sometimes we don't know how to pray because of the infirmity has overtook us, whether it is our lack of faith or our doubt. Maybe it is a physical need. Maybe it is a trial that you're going through. But nonetheless, you don't know what to do. Sometimes I'm the feller, and I'm trying to be as honest with you as I know that I feel like some of you look at me, if not all of you look at me, that I ought to have every answer for every problem that you've ever had or going to have. Now, I'm glad God can give me some insight on some things. I'm glad He can give me some insight. He can give you some insight too. Amen. But that's a lot of weight in my mind and in my heart to carry. But see, I do know that you are looking to me for some help. I mean, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that I'm to what? I'm to watch for your soul. So the infirmity puts us in a place to where we don't know how to pray. Well, then as I studied this, and in the middle of just studying it, well, God smote my heart about how the Holy Spirit inclines to us and cares for us. I thought about what love that God has for me and you. That one that He gave us the Holy Spirit on the inside when we got saved. That's the earnest of the Holy Spirit, to know that we're saved, right? I mean, that's how we know that we're saved. What was it little John said? And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. That's how we know we're saved. Hey, 2 Corinthians said, who hath also sealed us and hath given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know, if you buy something from somebody, you give them a little earnest money and said, I'll be back and pay for the rest of it and get it. Do you realize that's what the Lord done to us when He saved us? He left us the earnest of the Holy Spirit to prove our salvation. And one day He's coming back to get us. I don't know any other way to explain that. That Holy Spirit that the Bible calls the Comforter in John chapter 15. That lives within us according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And that will direct us according to John chapter 14 in Christ and teach us what we need to know. But I thought about how much He must love us and care for us. That when we come to a place in our life that we don't understand or that we don't know or we don't know how to pray and we don't know words that should be uttered, but God sees our heart. And you know, Sister Kathy sings a song, Tears Are a Language God Understands. I believe that today. I believe God sees the broken heart. I believe God sees that when we're beyond being able to pray and we're beyond being able to go and figure it out. It just seems like that we're at a dead place in our life and we don't know what to do. I'm glad there is one that notice what it says right here. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. The care that He has for me and you, that He inclines to us. It's like you mom and dads raising these young'uns. There's sometimes, now listen to me, you're fixing to miss something right here. There's sometimes your children don't know what they need, but you do. That's why God gave them to you. You know what those children need. They don't know. They don't know. Why? They're children. They've not got there yet. That's the same with us sometimes. We don't know what we need. We don't know how to get to where we need to be next. But the Holy Spirit sure does know. And He knows how to plead. And that brings me to the third point. It comes to the intercession. The Spirit intercedes for us. He inclines to us. He sees the need that we have. And he cares for us. And boy, what care he has. But then he intercedes for us. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be. Can I stop right here and just say for a minute? Some of you all can think back to some times to what I'm preaching about. You may be there now. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in a lot of your lives personally. But some of you all have been here. You're not there now, but you've been there. And you know that Scripture is true. And if you've never been there, then it will be true when you get there. It's true now, and it will be true when you get there. But the intercession that the Spirit makes. You know what that word intercede means? Most of y'all should know. It means to go between or to mediate. It means to beg or plead on behalf of another. You know, when I got saved, Christ was my intercessor with God the Father. Amen. I mean, he was my intercessor. And that he said, hey, this boy wants to come and get saved. I died for him. How would you save him? And boy, I'm glad on the authority of God's word, he done just that. Amen. I'm not believing in anything else or anybody else except the Lord Jesus Christ today. I'm going to deal with this tonight, but take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll deal with this a little bit tonight, but I'll deal with it right now. But just real quick. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1, Paul's talking about the gospel. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What is that? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Verses 3 and 4 tells us that. He said, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless what? Unless you have believed in vain. Well, believed what in vain? If you believe the gospel, then you're saved. There's no other way to get around that. You realize that, don't you? You realize that if you believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you call out on Him and ask Him to save you, He will save you. You realize that, right? But there are some people that have believed in vain. They're trusting in the wrong thing. They're trusting in the wrong person. They're looking in the wrong direction. And that was one of the problems that he had at Corinth over here. Especially if you read the rest of that chapter, he begins to deal with whether the resurrection was real or not. I mean, Paul knew it was real, but they didn't know whether it was or not. Sometimes it is that Holy Spirit that made intercession for me when I got saved. But that same Holy Spirit that brought me to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ made intercession for me, it is Him that intercedes when we don't know how to pray. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. But notice how He does it. With groanings which cannot be uttered. That low, mournful, lamentful, complaining sound. You know, when everything is good, the Holy Spirit does not have to intercede for us because we know how to pray, don't we? We know what to say. I'm talking about people that's living for the Lord, been saved and living for the Lord, and trying to live by faith. I think he's talking about a really bad time in our life, because I'm going to be honest with you, we're not groaning when everything's good. Now, I mean, I'm just looking at this for what it says. I'm looking at it at face value right now. You don't groan when everything is good. You know, they're always moaning and groaning. Everything's always what? Wrong and not right. He says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He understands the situation
And let me say that when he makes that intercession to heaven for us, when we don't really know how to come to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need, when we don't know exactly how to do all those things, listen, he does. And then not only does he make intercession and he pleads on our behalf. Think about that. There is somebody, when you don't know how to pray or what to pray, he's interceding for you. Think about that for just a second. When your preacher fails to pray for you, the Holy Spirit will pray for you. When your husband or wife fails to pray for you, the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. When we fail to pray for each other, you do pray for each other, don't you? You know why I tell you that I pray for you through the week? You know why I tell you that? One, I want you to know that your preacher prays for you. Two, I want to commit myself. You understand what I'm saying? If I tell you that I'm praying for you, then I'm a low down, lying, dirty dog if I ain't doing it, amen. I want to commit myself to that thing. I mean, I've just been honest with you this morning. He intercedes for us with groanings. He understands the infirmity. Whatever the infirmity may be in your life, he understands that. And you know what? He weeps with you. You know the Holy Spirit does have feelings. I believe that when we weep, I believe he weeps with us. I believe he cries with us. Look in verse 27. You know what else he does? He not only prays with groanings and makes intercessions for us, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You realize that he knows how to pray in the will of God? Do you realize that? He knows how to pray in the will of God. We may not know. He said, look, you don't know how to pray as you ought to. That's what he says. He says, by the Holy Spirit, he knows how to pray. Am I making sense to y'all this morning? I hope so. I hope yous are getting these. I hope you're really getting this, because if you're not there now, you will be. The older you get, the more you're going to have to face some of this stuff. He's praying in the will of God. Paul wanted the messenger of Satan to quit buffeting on him. He began to pray to God, and God finally stopped him. I said, Paul, he said, look, he said, that's not going to happen, but my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, sometimes God's just got to stop us and say, you wasn't praying right here. But he knew how to pray, or he knows how to pray. He that searcheth the hearts, that's the Lord. Go look at Jeremiah 17. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. They're talking to each other. They're communing with each other, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Little John tells us that's how we ought to pray, is in the will of God, ain't it? The Spirit knows exactly what me and you need. And that brings me to the last point. I'm going to close. We need, I want me and you to identify those times, to think back to those times when you didn't know how to get through something. And I'm going to tell you something right here. Hopefully for a lot of us, those times will be very few and far between that we have to rely on Romans 8, 26 and 27. I like it when I can come to the throne of grace, kneel down, and begin to talk to God and pour my heart out to Him, and begin to pray and know that I'm praying right, and know that He's hearing me. But there have been a few times that I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't know how we were going to make it through it. But you need to identify those times. Why? One, you need to remember that God is faithful to you. I've been big on that here lately. I may have to preach on that. I've been talking about that here lately. That God has been faithful to you. I mean, think about it, church. Look back at all the times that God's heard you and answered your prayers. Now, why would He not be faithful to Romans 8 and 26? Why would he not be faithful to that? Some of y'all can think back to those times that I've talked about that where it has been a dark time in life and it has been a numb time in life and you just really, you didn't even want to pray. Just to be honest with you, you might have been a little aggravated, upset, or just didn't know what God was up to and you just didn't want to talk to Him. And in the words of Brother Ralph, did you know you didn't surprise God with that either? He knew exactly how you felt. I like to get reminded about that from time to time. We think we're harboring something up on God, and He knows all the time how you feel about Him. We put a smile on our face and come to church and get in the choir and sing and raise our hand at the right time, say amen at the right time, and there are right times to do all that. Don't misunderstand me. But God knows our heart. Think back to those times that you've just held on to this scripture right here. Think back to those times that you've just held on to what God's promised and God's brought you through it. Maybe you need to come and tell the Lord, Lord, I just don't know what to do right here. I don't understand how we got to where we're at. I don't understand why this has happened. I just don't understand, but I need some help. I thought about this passage of Scripture while I was studying this. One of my most favorite passages in the Old Testament is 1 Chronicles chapter 20. And it talks about the time when three bands of people, when three companies of people are coming up against Judah and King Jehoshaphat. And he gets over there and first he calls out a fast for all the people of Judah to fast. And then he begins to pray to the Lord. And he gets down there to verse 12 of 1 Chronicles 20. And you know what he says? He says, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You know, sometimes you just got to come to an altar somewhere in a place in your life and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you for you to help me. That might be where you're at today. But at the end of it all, I want you to remember this as I close. He's worthy to be praised for it all. He's worthy of our praise. That'll help you get through. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would, church. Let's bow our heads. Brother Marvin, if you and Brother Jeff will come, we'll get a verse of invitation this morning. What I've preached today, you may have never experienced in your life. And sometimes you don't realize what God's doing till you get away from it, and then you're able to turn around and look back and you see what God brought you through. You get to see how God brought you through every bit of that and took care of you. You didn't pray real good. You might not have been even real spiritual at that time, but God helped you. Why? Because you're His. And that infirmity, whatever it was, go ahead and start playing, Brother Martin, if you're ready. I like to watch people in the midst of struggles and trials hold their head up. And boy, they go with a smile. And it seems like nothing gets them down. I think to myself, man, That's who I need to be. But sometimes, church, I'm not knocking those people, because that's sure enough, I'm striving to get there, to have my faith placed in Him so much. But there are some times that you're just not going to know what to do. And the Holy Spirit, in His love and His care, as He inclines to you, He's going to cry out to heaven on your behalf. Oh my, how sweet that really is. To think that the Holy Spirit, that is the earnest of our inheritance, that loved us enough to come and reside with us, to stay in our heart, He begs out and cries to heaven, would you help Mark? Would you help him get through this? And then he begins to tell God what I need in my life. And maybe it's somebody to come by and visit with me, or send me a little word, or pick up the telephone and call,
or to move in a situation, or just to strengthen my faith. How many times you ever come to church needing something, and lo and behold, if somebody didn't get up and sing a song, oh, that just flooded your soul. You tell me that was by accident. Lo and behold, the preacher got up and preached on the exact thing that you needed. You tell me that was by coincidence. Or boy, some old elderly saint. Don't have to be elderly, I guess, but some saint of God stood up. Oh, and begin to testify. And begin to talk about some of the things that God had brought him or her through. And the exact same thing is what you was dealing with. You tell me that was by coincidence. Oh, the Holy Spirit pleaded on your behalf. Oh, and beg God. Beg God in heaven to help us. Because He loves us so much. When we don't know how to pray, He knows how to pray for us. Maybe you just need to come and tell Him this morning, Lord, I don't know how to pray right now. I'm in a place. I don't know. But I sure do need some help. Why, Brother Marvin, we're going to sing here in a minute. But why, Brother Marvin, please, if you need to slip out of that pew and we'll come get around this altar, you can do that.